2024, baby. Welcome to 2024. Like, did anyone think that we'd like live to 2024?
I didn't think I'd make it to 50. I remember when I was like young, I'm like, 50, you're so old. Holy
cats, yeah. So old. Yeah. No, it sounds like we're in the future now. We are living in the future. Happy New Year, everyone. Welcome to your mom, Ashley Adamson, Lisa McCaffrey, our producer extraordinaire, Betsy Bloom, on the first mailbag episode of the season, which is also the first episode of the new year. Woo! Are you guys feeling refreshed and ready to go and like ready to tackle all the things ahead?
2024, best year ever.
Do you guys get New Year's blues?
I do, but I don't get it right away. I get it like mid-January when the weather here is like nasty. Yeah. It's dick season. It's like, it's a little depressing. I crave like warm weather, going to Miami, visit my mom. And yeah. I do crave that. So I guess that's equivalent of a little bit of blues. Do you get it?
I get it pretty bad. I like feel sad around New Year's every year. And I think it's
nostalgia.
I don't know. It's weird. Cause I love, yeah. I mean, it's like the come down from Christmas.
Yeah.
And then it's just like, okay, you're right back into it.
Yeah. So my birthday is December 22nd. So it's a real hard come down for me after the holidays. Oh. Like there is nothing to look.
You're flying so
high. Are you satisfied with the amount of gifts that you get? I know every December birthday has like issues with that.
I'm an only child. So I think that offsets.
Huh. So you're spoiled. You're spoiled.
Right. That helps. Exactly. So it's like, that's just the universe creating an equilibrium.
Okay. Okay, right. Brings you down to earth a little bit.
Like, right, exactly. It's like,
yeah, because December 20th, like, you do get gypped. Like, you really, it's totally. There are a lot of combo presents.
I have gotten cards that say happy Christmas birthday from people, and I'm like, can you just buy two cards? Like,
those are people who they look at you like you're like Jesus,
right?
That's what that is.
I mean, exactly.
Right. Well, your family thinks you are since you're the only child. So.
Right. I am. I am the second coming. You guys are lucky to have podcast.
Wow. They don't know yet. They're going to discover it once we get a little bit deeper into this podcast, people are going to start to understand.
Right.
I'd like to confess my sins to you, please.
That's perfect. You're absolved.
We need a long time.
Yeah, should we do that instead of the mailbag? Should we have Lisa confess her sins?
This is going to take a long time. It's going to be a long podcast. Sorry.
But we do have some good mailbag questions. So let's get into a few of these because we love hearing from you, by the way, listeners. It's every time we put out a, hey, ask us anything mailbag. And I always think like, are people going to say anything? And every time people
send in great questions.
So thank you. Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah. Good job.
What do we got on deck? I have only cheated a little bit and looked at a few of them, but surprise us.
Yeah. So the first one I love, I think is such a cool question. So it's from CMC Superfan. And it says, if Christian's team played the 49ers team that Ed won a Super Bowl with, who'd win?
So let me just say CMC Superfan is my mom. No, kidding. I'm kidding. Joking.
I was like, wait, your mom's so Texas.
If Big Mama was actually CMC Superfan, that would be so good. And this is a great question.
Seeing as she, you guys, like the way she deals with social media, she's going to hate me for saying this. There was one time, like it was a couple years ago, she literally on her Facebook wrote Max McCaffrey and then posted that. She was trying to look him up and just posted Max McCaffrey. So all my friends were like, is Max okay? Did something happen to Max? What happened?
Can I tell a really quick and very to that point story? Yeah. One of our dear friends, I won't use their names. One of our dearest couple friends here, when they met for the first time, before they actually got married, when he was out, you know, in San Francisco meeting people at bars as you do in your 20s. He met this woman named Nikki Crane, who is now one of our dear friends. She's amazing.
Yep,
he went home to look her up on Facebook, very drunk, and typed in Nikki Crane. And so like his status updated like four or five times. And it was just like Nikki Crane, Nikki Crane, Nikki Crane.
Shut up.
So they didn't end up getting married. She married a different woman.
Shocking.
Also, we're also friends with. But now those couples still are like in each other's worlds and it's great.
Since he's a stalker, so, I don't blame her.
Yeah. So better to be like looking up your grandson instead of like the woman that you met at a bar and posting that several times. And then all of a sudden waking up the next day and all your friends being like, dude, go delete your statuses.
That's a tough one.
So, in any event, carry on. If Christian's team played the 49ers team that Ed won a Super Bowl with, who would win?
Wow, that's actually CMC Superfan. That is a phenomenal question. Honestly, guess what? I don't know. And guess what? No one knows. No one's going to ever know. But if I had to guess, I mean, think about it. So that was in, what was that, 93, 94?
Three.
And we had that 49er team beat the San Diego Chargers 49-26 in the Super Bowl, 49, very appropriate. And we had the offensive MVP, Steve Young, defensive MVP, Deion Sanders at the time. And I don't want to brag, but in that Super Bowl, Ed McCaffrey and Jerry Rice combined for 11 catches and 154 yards, which is pretty amazing if you think about it. You know, Ed was his backup, and Ed actually only had one catch for 5 yards, but combined, Jerry and Ed
11
catches for 150.
But it was a big catch. What was it? I remember it was it. Wasn't for.
Yeah, one.
It was a big catch that he had.
I'm shocked he didn't get the MVP of that Super Bowl. He had 5 yards when Jerry had like a little injury, went off the field, and got in. So Ed got to go, and he was so excited and had one catch for 5 yards. That's what put him over the edge.
And he's got a Super Bowl ring. Well, he's got three, but that
he's got a Super Bowl ring, yes, which was so fun. Had a great tackle on kickoff return too one time. So
see,
not to brag or anything.
That's the stuff that matters.
So no, that was
okay. So who are you going with? I'm gonna make
so
it
anyway.
Two.
With that being said,
you're basically picking your husband or your son.
I know. What it's and like Mike Shanahan was calling plays and Kyle's calling plays. It's
Oh god, there's a lot of synergy.
Gosh, you guys, this is
he's really trying to get out of answering this question.
Yeah. Well, the only reason I'm gonna say Christian's team right now, wait, let me explain, is because modern technology. Like back then, and not to discredit anything that was going on back then. And maybe if those guys had the modern technology that they have now to like, you know, like I was talking about on another podcast was all they do to get ready for the game and be their best.
They're not like chugging beers and then.
Yeah, they're not. Yeah. Right. Partying or, and not that they were doing it back then, but like Ed did everything to be the best player he could. Christian does all of the stuff Ed did plus so much more. So
there's so much more technology and science and understanding.
So with that being said, I'm going to go ahead and take this 49.
Mm-hmm. Okay. That's a good answer.
Truly, I don't know. And guess what? No one's ever going to know.
It would be fun to see that play. I hope that's what heaven is. I hope when we get to heaven, that it's just, we get to watch Christian's 2023 Niners play Ed's 1993.
Yeah, and it's like the Jordan LeBron debate too. Like, guess what? We're not going to know.
We're never going to know.
We're not going to know. I mean, I guess it's fun.
Let's just appreciate how great they each are.
Yeah. It's a fun debate. That's a fun discussion, but we really, really, really don't know. So anyway,
that was a good question. Way to go, CMC super fan.
Yeah. But not just that, back then too, our big rivalry was Dallas, just kind of like it is this year as well. So that was our toughest game leading to the Super Bowl in 93 was the Dallas game. And so anyway, although this year we absolutely demolished Dallas, but that's a whole nother story so far, but I'm sure we'll have to play them again. Anyway. Okay. Thank you. Next. Ariana Grande. Thank you. Next.
Okay, so we're going to hard pivot.
Love a hard pivot.
This is from Brianne Mareed. I might be pronouncing that wrong. But wedding planning, how is it going for both weddings?
Oh, wow.
And just for the uninitiated, Lisa has two sons, Christian and Max, who are both engaged and are both going to get married within the next year or two.
Correct.
We'll call it.
Yeah, it's going great. Easy for me. I'm the mom of the groom. So really, sit down, shut up and wear beige is my
favorite.
I have to be honest right now. It's sort of Olivia's doing everything and Christian's definitely gives input, but it's just pretty, it's kind of on the back burner because Christian is so focused on the season. He'll do a little bit on Tuesdays, his day off, but for the most part, they have a wedding planner that's taken the brunt of a lot of the work. And we've actually spoken to her and she is awesome. She's lovely. So it's going really well. It's progressing. I have to admit, I have a couple other friends whose kids are getting married around the same time. And let's just say all of their save the dates are out. All of their stuff's out. None of our stuff's out. So, I mean, I guess if it's like the Miss Manners, whatever, we may be a little late on the draw, but I don't know. I just know when it is and where it is. And so
you're going to be there. So you don't have to worry. Yeah. It's in your calendar.
Particular Christian's wedding. Now, Max and Kathleen's wedding, my oldest son is engaged. We love this girl as well as like Olivia. And they are both working so hard. Max is a coach on the Dolphins. He has zero time for anything. All he has time for is to sleep and work. And then Kathleen has a great job. She works for Formula One. She's killing it. So they have like no time whatsoever. So their wedding has been planned like it's non-existent right now. But they will get their act together eventually, I promise. But just not yet. So stay tuned. Yeah, I don't have any specifics or any great late breaking things to tell you, or I will. How,
but like, I guess I want to ask, because we talked about this last year, Lisa, and I think it's so real. And you, I loved kind of seeing the iteration of this, but the fact that you always wanted a daughter more than anything, and now you get within, you know, a year span, you're going to have two.
Yeah.
I imagine that's pretty special. And while mother-in-laws are notoriously a little bit crazy, like that's going to be, I can't wait to be a crazy mother-in-law.
Like, I know.
I'm going to be so good at it. But I think that relationship is so special. And, you know, what hopefully will come next is that you get to be a grandma and have one of those little grandbabies and all the rest. But how is it going from just like the bigger picture of knowing that your family's expanding and watching two of your sons find their people?
I love it. I've said to the other day, I was like, I've never been happier. I'm so excited. Aww. So Christian has a Christmas Day game, and we get to spend it with Olivia's mom and dad and one of her sisters. And I'm just, oh my gosh, I'm so excited. I'm sorry, because the past Christmas have been amazing, all with the boys, but it's always like, I'm the only girl. So, not because everyone makes me do the work, but I ended up doing a lot of the cooking and that. So I am so excited to have like other women that help and are just, we can just, I don't know, kind of bond over. We all love to cook, which is fun. Her mom, Olivia's mom, like literally is bringing a ham. Like she's trekking a ham cross country. She's just like, she's amazing. She's just like, I love her. She's like a homemaker, just happy to be doing that.
She's the best. Mom, if you haven't listened to her episode, by the way, go back to last season.
Yeah, Susan Colpo. And she's a trained, she plays the viola like with the Boston Symphony. She's just so talented, but you'd never know. She's just so down to earth and so wonderful. I just love them. And I'm so excited to spend Christmas with all of them. So, I couldn't be happier. That, and then Kathleen's family is amazing too. We've embraced them. They're so wonderful. So yeah, I'm excited for the future and everything, and just expanding the family. I get welled up with excitement. I'm so excited.
As you should. It's a really special time in your life. And I love that you've feel that.
And we sincerely like them. We love them. We like, I look forward to it. It's not like, oh God, I have to spend with the in-laws. Like it's,
and that's a good, they're
probably rolling their eyes and like, hang out with who? But no, I'm excited.
But that's, I think, the thing you want for it's the thing that I want for my kid more than anything else. I hope they find their way. I hope they have good, like finding a partner to do life with. It's the biggest decision you'll ever make. And it impacts every, like, you know, it's a big decision, but you really can't understand it until you've already made it.
Right. And you have kids with that person, and you have kids,
it's just everything
is big decisions with that person. Yeah. It's
yes. Yeah. Yeah. And so to have people who are, it is everything. So, okay, good. All right. What do we got? We got time maybe for like one or two more. What do we got, Betsy?
So we have a question from Kate Rooney, who was just a guest on the show. So this is such a good question. She said, for each of you, which mom is your dream guest for the show?
I got it. You ready?
Go.
Of course. Like, come on. Like, really? Are you going to like negate this? Taylor Swift's mom.
Oh, yes. Wow.
I actually want to do it with her and Travis Kelce's mom at the same time.
That's not, we should get Donna Kelce. That would be okay. That's what I was going to say. Donna Kelce. We almost got her at the Super Bowl last year, and we had a few different things that
we need to reach out and try. So for sure.
But
so cute.
Okay, so let's manifest that. We're going to get Donna Kelce into, I don't know, what's Taylor's mom's name?
I forget. I know what she looks like. That's
the problem. She's definitely not going to come on if she listens to this.
No, we're going to have to edit that out.
We're going to have to edit that out before we send her this,
No, I would love that. Those would be just so interesting to.
Andrea.
Yeah.
Andrea, that's it.
Great question, Kate Rooney.
Thanks, Kate.
Okay, one more. What do you got for us?
Okay, so this is from Carlala Land. And it is, how do you decide which passions are worth pursuing for your children?
Wow. Well,
so that's an interesting question, because when I first hear that, I'm like, well, they decide which passions they're going to pursue. But then I think about it a little bit further, and you realize, and Lisa, you're farther down along the parenting path than I am. Mine are still young, but it is about being open to whatever those passions are and then supporting them. Like Colin's my son, isn't as into sports as my daughter is, or as I was. And it is interesting, because I'm like, well, are you going to get there? Are you going to decide that you like soccer or basketball or something? Like maybe, and maybe not, because you love trains and you love building things and you love, like we just started in Boy Scouts, and he's, oh my God, he looks like such a cute dork in that Boy Scout Tiger Cub uniform. But I think it's just being in it, being excited and encouraging them to chase whatever it is that they are interested in. But it is, I don't know. I think it is hard to know, like, you can't do everything. You can't, and you want them to understand that everything that is worth pursuing also takes some sacrifice and time and hard work. Right. So it's not just like, oh, this is fun. I like this.
Yeah. And then, oh, no, I don't like it anymore. This, yeah. But when they're young, you can do that. You can flit and try different things. I remember recently I read an article about Mike McDaniels, the coach on the Dolphins. And he I think his father passed away when he was like 4, but his mom obviously is huge, you know, raised him basically. And she did get remarried. And he's like questioned himself. He's like, you know, how come I'm this coach? Like, how did I get here? Like, who am I kind of thing? And he's like, the reason is because my mom made me believe I can do anything I wanted. Mm. And I was like, wow, that's really powerful. And I just pray that I hope I did that for my kids in some way that they have. Yeah. I mean, he was gifted with that confidence, maybe because he knows he has that safety net to fall back on with his, right. with his mom and everything. And, you know, and he talks about how he's, you know, he's overcome addiction and things, but he's always, you know, and his wife in an interview talked about, wow, he's got like a light around him. And you almost felt like, okay, no matter what he does, he's going to be okay. Even if he fails, even if something falls down, he's going to be okay because he's got a great safety net. And I always thought, wow, I would love my kids to say that they felt so confident that they're like a parent made them feel like, okay, I got your back. You can do anything if you put your mind to it. So I just thought that was pretty cool. So anyway, what my you can do anything, basically. I love that. But I don't know what I think the kid has to be passionate about whatever it is. They have to have the passion within them, and you can't push something that you're passionate about on them. I mean, naturally, sometimes that might happen. Like all my boys are football because Ed loves football. Just he loves the game, and he truly does love the intricacies, the X's and O's about it. And he taught that they felt that passion that he feels, and they all just love that, which is great. I wish they played soccer, but that's a whole nother story. You know,
like a real sport. I wish they played a real sport. Like
exactly. Soccer, yeah. So no, but and you don't know what your kid's gonna like. You don't, and you just have to like embrace it and just. I love that. Like McDonald's mom, like give them the confidence that they feel they can do anything. So,
anyway. I think that's I love that answer, and I do think. I don't know if I've told this story before, but it's right in line with what you're saying, Lisa. I tell my dad all the time, he saw something in me that I never saw when I was younger. And he used to always tell me about how tough I was. And he said, he was like, you're just so tough.
That's awesome.
And I did not feel tough. Like I never felt tough. And I felt that was, but he said it enough that I started to believe it.
Wow.
And it's like your kids become who you believe them to be in many ways, I think. And so it does matter what you say to your kids. It does matter the belief you have in them, and you don't want to lie to them and say that. But if you see something in them, like, say it, nurture it, because your words are so powerful.
And they are.
I've told my dad, I'm like, you changed totally, like my confidence and I all of a sudden, you told it to me enough that I finally believed it. And it was, you like manifested it in me a little bit.
Right.
And I think it's a real thing.
That's cool that he focused on the toughness. They say when you compliment your kids, don't say, oh, good job. They say now what I've read, and I don't know if I did this, but it's like compliment their work, the effort. Work ethic, their effort in what it is, their passion. Praise that, not just the A, or it's like, wow, you worked really hard on this test to get that grade. I'm impressed with how much effort you put into it. So that's what they say.
Betsy, what's your take on that as someone who is educating the minds of the youth?
Yeah. I mean, it sounds so simple, but it's true. Like if you say something enough times, good or bad, a kid will believe you. Yeah. So I think about all of like the rap songs where it's like the teachers said that I would never amount to anything,
right.
But like, what about the teachers that did? And even on Kate's episode where she was talking about how people went up to her mom in San Francisco and were like, oh my God, you changed my life because you believed in me. Like your words matter. They're listening.
Yeah. It's true.
I know you haven't been a teacher for years and years and years, but have you had those moments where, I mean, I know that a lot of the kids you taught are still young, but where you've felt that gratification kind of on the back end of knowing that you really helped a kid by believing in them?
Yeah. And I have had moments where I'm like, you're smart. You're good at this. And like a kid immediately, it's like, you can tell that they're like, it's brought them close to tears because maybe they just didn't hear, they haven't heard it enough to believe it. Yeah. Which obviously then I immediately also start to cry, which kind of
I know.
Right. But especially it's like that moment of like, they're like, oh, maybe this is true. maybe I am smart. Maybe yeah. I am.
And hearing it from a coach and a teacher too was very powerful. Somebody that's not your parents. Because a lot of times they think, oh, my parents are supposed to say that. But if you hear it from, like, you know, like I said, a coach or a teacher or a mentor, that's really powerful also. So
yeah,
so powerful. And I think, I you know, this is the perfect segue to wrap up this episode with a moment of gratitude. I am going to give a shout out to, and because I was just talking about my dad, he had epilepsy when he was young, really bad epilepsy in fifth grade, was like the worst year of his life. In sixth grade, his teacher, they were going to send him to a different school. He was made fun of. He was bullied, all of those things. His teacher, Amy Thompson, in sixth grade, Most Precious Blood in Denver, Colorado.
Yeah, I know, that's cool.
He talks about, like, she changed my life. She believed in me. She saw that I was a good writer. And she told me that, and she asked me, you know, she had me stay after school, and she worked directly with me to help develop that. And he said her belief in me, it was like the first time that somebody that wasn't his mom basically came and said, no, you're going to do this. And I believe it. And I see it in you. And that it totally changed his life. So shout out to Amy Thompson. I don't know if she's still around. He's tried to find her in years past and was never able to track her down, but I am grateful to her for speaking some love and seeing the light in, you know, my dad. It's funny to think about your parents as little kids, but that little fifth grade boy who was lost.
I had it at fifth grade. Mrs. Culpepper, I'll never forget it. She told me I was creative. I'll never forget it. And it like stuck with me. Nobody had ever said that. I think we did a story. We had to write a story and I wrote it. And she said it to announced it to the class that, like, oh my gosh, this is an incredibly creative story. And you're very creative. And I'm like that. I was like, it struck.
I just got goosebumps.
I know. Yeah. It was just really rewarding. And I was just, gosh, that it's like gave me a little bit of confidence. And
isn't that amazing how what just one, yeah, one saying something like it. That can, it, you still remember it all these years later. And then
fifth grade, I'll never forget it. Yeah. It was really, anyway.
How about you, Betsy? You have a,
nope, nothing. I'm kidding.
I am my own.
Let's go.
No, I definitely, it's so funny because, you know, you probably can't name every teacher you've had, but everyone can name the teacher that they had that they felt like made a difference. And mine is Mrs. Buscarino. She was my theme teacher and she made me feel like I was a good writer. She gave me a lot of feedback and she pushed me. You know, she didn't let me coast, which I really appreciate.
What grade? How old?
So we started it in, like, I want to say, fifth grade. Wow.
Yeah, yeah. Wow. That's a very impressionable year I'm learning.
Fifth grade teachers out there.
I love that. Shout out to all the teachers out there. True, honestly. Yeah. I've said it before. I will say it in every opportunity I have. Like,
yes,
it is truly the most underappreciated, undervalued, and most important and most critical, I think, profession that anyone can have. And it's the most meaningful thing. So shout out to you, Betsy. We love you.
Thank
all your
you.
Colleagues. Okay. If you did not get your mailbag question read, don't feel sad. We had a bunch come in. They were great. We were trying to keep this short, but we're going to do more mailbags in the new year. So feel free to send us a note on social media or in the comment section of this podcast, and we will add them to the list and we will get to them. We promise we see all of them and we love you guys. With that, I'm going to say Happy New Year. I love you both deeply.
You too.
And I love your moms.
You too.
Happy New Year to your mom.
Happy New Year to your mom. Your mom's a New Year.